in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 708. I'm here. I'm Lisa Sheps, your handy host, along with my handy co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Bad Cinderella. It is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023. On the show today, we have Austin Playhouse, production of Nightbird. And later on, we'll be talking to Jason Williams with a little show called An Evening with Jason Williams. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, and Piscataway, New Jersey. Stick with us. Okay. Bad Cinderella.
I know, and I finally had it out of my head.
And I brought it right back in.
And you brought it right back in. Even my brother, he was like, I keep, and I go, what do you want to just... Bad Cinderella.
Bad Cinderella, for those of you that aren't familiar, even though we've talked about it a lot here, is the new... It used to just be called Cinderella.
It used to just be called Cinderella across the pond.
And then they looked at the production notices and decided to rename it Bad Cinderella.
In front of it. I'm going to say this about it. The marketing campaign was kind of smart, and the whole take on the Real Housewives and how they had all the characters doing an opening like that, I thought was clever.
I have not seen any of these.
Oh my gosh, they did all these marketing campaigns, like all the house openings with taglines for all the different characters.
Are they on the YouTubes?
YouTubes, which I was like, that's really smart with the pop culture and the trend. But yeah, no, bad.
You'd think I'd see it since I'm so addicted to TikTok.
And I did enjoy some of the set and the lighting and the way the thorns and the trees. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool looking.
Gonna have to check it out. Well, the reason why I played it is it has begun previews.
It has.
It is in previews even as we speak. Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us.
We've got some cool people.
They don't have to be silent.
No, we have cool people here.
Number one, contestant number one, veteran of the show, Laura Haddock. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
So good to have you here. We spent the weekend together.
We did.
And then we've missed Taji so much. Taji Senior. Hi.
Hi.
So welcome back. It's been years.
It's been a little while.
It's been a time. And India Wilmot, welcome back.
Hello.
And India just reminded me that she has not been
on
the studio. You were on the show in pandemic times.
Yes, I was a Zoom interview.
Is very exciting that you're here in person.
It was the Zoomtemic. Anyway, so we mentioned that Bad Cinderella is in previews. Also in previews is Parade.
Yes.
Or as John Ailey, rest in peace, calls it, Parade.
Parade. I was about to say, are you going to give us Parade? I thought about him like three times yesterday. I miss that man.
Yeah. Well, just to the reason why I say that, I don't know if we've ever talked about it on the show, but when he interviewed Ground Floor Theater when we did Parade before we went on the air, he looks at me. He says, "Well, now is it Parade or is it Parade?" And I just thought that was a quintessential John Ailey.
Mm-hmm.
May he rest in peace. He was, there's a podcast I listen to about theater, and I yell at the podcast all the time because they use the term iconic for anybody that is relatively famous, and I said, not everybody can be iconic.
No.
It drives me crazy. But when you talk Austin, Texas, and you talk John Ailey, iconic, very proper use of the word.
I concur, my friend.
Yeah, but you should see me yell at my phone. That person is not iconic, but
you
just
know,
famous.
You like the TikTok channel. Maybe you just need to put a camera in your house for the stuff Lisa says, because you know there was that Twitter, the beep John Ailey says, and we'll get Lisa and get
true.
You in
I
the background.
I could have done that. Except I didn't know that Twitter. I don't do the Twitter. I'm just addicted to...
Well, you can make it your TikTok.
I like to give all my information to China. So anyway, Parade is in...
Parade's in
preview. In preview, starting yesterday, and they had protesters.
They sure
outside
did.
The theater, anti-Semitic, neo-Nazi protesters. So if you don't know, this show is this true story of Leo Frank, who in 1919 was accused of, in the article said raping and killing, but he was only accused of killing the young worker in his employ. It was a sham trial. He was sentenced to death. His wife pleaded to the governor to give him another trial that was more fair. Anti-Semitism played a big part in that trial. Mm-hmm. They commuted his sentence to life so he could get a new trial. And then the citizens of Marietta, Georgia came in and took him out of the prison and lynched him. Mm-hmm. And two things happened in real life out of that was the creation of the Anti-Defamation League, mm-hmm. one of the premier anti-hate groups in the country, and a reinvigoration of the KKK.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, when I went to research Parade and Leo Frank when I was doing the show, there are two websites that pop up, and you look at them, and they seem really legit. But when you dig into them, they're actually run by neo-Nazi groups and hate groups. And about 50% of the information that you get there is good, and 50% of the information is... not good.
Not good, yeah.
They had these protesters out there. It was really interesting. There's a Twitter and a video of it, and this one guy yelling at the audience members as they were trying to come in, saying, you're promoting pedophilia,
et cetera. I was supposed to say, they were yelling that they were promoting pedophilia, and then there were some other audience members on Twitter that posted pictures of the flyers they were handing out and some other stuff. Ben Platt made a lovely lovely video in response to everything, but... yeah, it was just like, really, people? I mean, I'm not surprised at all by anything anymore, which is saddening.
Well, I mean, I think...
But like, really?
Yeah. I think this is, if this was done 10 years ago, it wouldn't have happened. There wasn't the amount of anti-Semitism going on. But it just... people just want to... find groups to hate.
It was just really interesting, though, to find to watch the people of New York were not paying them any attention and carrying on to go see their show and to support the arts and not giving them the time of day, which was kind of spectacular to see.
But has anybody seen there's the YouTube video of Ben Platt and Michaela Diamond singing? I forgot the name of the song, but it's the duet between.
No.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And just look at this promotional picture. I just love it. And those of you that are getting this on the podcast can go to offstageonair.com and there'll be a link to this article, which shows you the picture of Ben Platt and Michaela Diamond playing Leo and... oh my God, I just lost her name. Leo and... It's sung in the song. I can't remember it. Anyway. you would be surprised that I did the show. this was... the Parade, as most people know, is written by Jason Robert Brown. It was originally produced by Harold Prince and Alfred Urey. The book is by Alfred Urey with Harold Prince, but is also originally produced by Harold Prince. He had a lot to do with the original production. The music is gorgeous.
It is
yes,
gorgeous.
It is.
It just really shows it's an important time to be doing this piece, too. There's a lot of that happening right now, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. And on a lighter note, I love it. You know, Parade sounds like it's going to be a fun show to go watch.
Yes, I know.
And this is, and that was the first musical that Ground Floor Theater did, and the next one we did was Fun Home, which is another one that sounds like it's going to be fun to watch.
Exactly.
And they both deal with very heavy topics. Think that's funny.
When you put it that way, it is.
It's true. Rest in peace, Raquel Welch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
She was 82 years old. She died.
She's a fascinating woman.
Yes, indeed. And I did not realize that she was Latine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like parent is Bolivian or
Bolivian.
Something.
Oh, good. You're good. I didn't know that till I read it. I'm trying to find her. Jo Raquel Tejeda is her the name that she's given at birth. She was born in Chicago, and her her father was a Bolivian-born aeronautical engineer, and her mother was an American of English descent. So I guess she was a blended person.
She's one of those people that I'm like, wow, you really walk through life looking like that.
Yeah. Right?
Like, well, that was a blessing and a curse for her.
You know. I know she's also obviously very talented and skilled, but I'm like, wow, okay, yeah, that's really impressive.
And she was really just known as a sex symbol for a long time, from a million years BC, which I may be the only one in the room old enough to remember watching it when it first came out, but she had a bikini, a fur bikini, mm-hmm. you know, because she was a cave woman.
I was going to say, that seems impractical.
It was just very, very impractical.
Yeah, you don't see me when I go home, I pull out my fur bikini.
Now, this picture is iconic.
Yeah.
So we'll overuse the word today, just because that's the...
But she really,
they discovered
she
her...
had a big voice and really was like, they wanted to belittle her and make her not smart and kind of just all about sex, and she's and shame her for being in a bikini, and she's like, "Oh, stop!" Please.
She never in her life appeared nude.
No,
which you know, and in the like the most sexiest women in the world, she was number three. I forgot who number four was, but anyway, that's pretty incredible. But she, they dismissed her as just a pretty face. Mm-hmm. And then she was in the Three Musketeers and showed her comedy chops, and everything turned for her with that, which I think is very interesting.
Don't you remember her in all those Crystal Light commercials in the 80s?
I'm just going to say yes.
She was on TV all the time.
She was on Broadway at least twice. She was the replacement for Lauren Bacall in Woman of the Year. And then she also, in 97, replaced Julie Andrews in Victor Victoria.
Mm-hmm. I did see her in Victor Victoria.
Yeah, she also had a cabaret act.
Was that her in Grumpy Old Men? Or Grumpier Old Men?
I think, yes.
Second one?
For Sophia Loren?
Oh, I'm going to have to...
Now Sophia Loren was number three in that list. I'm trying to remember.
But Sophia had to have been in that list with... Raquel.
Hmm. I'm not doubling down on that.
I know Anne Margaret was in it, and I thought also Sophia.
I don't know. I am going to just say right here that I am not a Raquel Welch expert. So that is very interesting. That's I never really had a negative view of her. She was always so cheerful and wonderful when I saw her on stage. What?
It was not Raquel Welch. Everybody thinks it's Raquel, but it was Anne Margaret, not the late actress Raquel.
Who was not on that list, by the
which
way.
Which is in the, yes, but that was in the Grumpy, was she in Grumpier Old Men or Grumpier? Yeah. No, she was not in any of them. It was Raquel. And then they said Sophia Loren was the other one.
Oh, she was the other woman. Yeah. Got it.
But apparently there's a whole bunch of people on this same topic as us.
That is knowledge I did not know I had.
All right, so there's a very interesting article in American Theater Magazine, which touches us all, I believe, and it's the amount of laws around the country, and Texas is one of them, that are anti-LGBTQ laws, specifically around drag performances, and indoctrinating, I'm doing air quotes, of our children. This article in American Theater Magazine was talking specifically about a Missouri's legislator. They've got four different bills targeting LGBTQ, two targeting trans youth in sports, and two focusing on banning drag performances. And I don't know.
We have four on the bill here in Austin
as well.
For the performance of dressing out of your gender.
There's five states that are doing.
It was three, and once legislation started, because I've been watching the list, and I was like, really, a fourth one now? Like,
is this for Austin proper, or for the state, or for the
state of Texas?
Oh, the state makes sense. I was about to say Austin. No, it's legal for a woman to go topless, but
yeah. Well, so first of all, if you've ever seen, we're fortunate enough to have Drag Queen Story Hour at the theater, mm-hmm. and it's such a positive, uplifting mm-hmm. way of talking to people and expressing art, which is what drag performance typically does. Mm-hmm. But these laws go so far as they keep them vague enough where a production of
12th Night
Hairspray.
12th Night Hairspray. And they even talk about Peter Pan. And they actually, so I think Fox News was questioning some people about, some of the legislators about some of these things. And they brought up Peter Pan specifically, because oftentimes Peter Pan is played by a woman. And
these
legislators said, you know, every time I've seen Peter Pan, it's been played by a boy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, no. Kathy Rigby was doing that for like 50 years. There's a new one mounting, by the way. Kathy Rigby is retiring from that. That's Mary Martin and Kathy Rigby and Sandy Duncan all the way.
Well, and
who was also all over the 80s for those Triscuit commercials.
And William Shakespeare. In Shakespearean times, women
weren't allowed to
cis
be on
women
the stage.
Did not go on stage. Mm-hmm. Other states: Arizona, Tennessee, South Dakota, Texas, Arkansas, Nebraska, South Carolina, and West Virginia. So in Missouri, they had public comment. And now I've been a part of a lot of I've testified at a lot of hearings around anti-trans and queer legislation that's happened in this state. And I always, you go there, they do it at the most inconvenient times, especially they want to do it middle of the night so children can't come.
It's like the middle of the night is the...
They don't give you a lot of warning, but you go there and you sit and you hear testimony after testimony after testimony that is speaking on your side in favor of the right thing, which is love and kindness and caring, and not the hatred of the bill. And the legislators listen and ask good questions. And you when you walk in there at the beginning of the hearing, you go, they've already made up their mind, it's not going to change. Then you go and you listen and you go, oh my God, we may have touched these people. And then at the end of the day, they vote just the way they always were. And it is so upsetting. And in Missouri, this particular hearing that they were talking about, they only gave 25 hours notice. Mm. And again, it was the same thing. There was nobody that spoke in favor of the bill. Everybody spoke against the bill. And so I just get so frustrated and angry that these things that
the
are
wording
just,
is so vague on them. I had them. Oh, I just closed that thing. I've had it open for weeks because I've been watching. I just closed it this morning, so I can't. But the language is so bait and switch vague that makes it like, do you just not want anyone to do anything? It is really what it is. It's just
right. So, and one of the things that a lot of the states are doing is they're trying to deem drag shows specifically as adult entertainment, so that these venues that host drag performance will have to meet the same criteria, the same rules that like a XXX movie house would have to, or exotic dancing house would have to do. And it's just...
But it's vague that it would almost apply to theaters too, because
it would apply to
it
theaters.
It does. It says any performer who dresses in a gender other than... So it's like, am I not allowed to go in my backyard and dress up and throw a play? You're going to come to my house and arrest me? Apparently.
Well, I will say this, and I should say before I say it, that the opinions as expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not that of the co-op, the board of directors, or its staff. It's merely my opinion. But I will say this, and I'll just step on my ground floor theater bandwagon, is I will not stand away. If these laws pass in Texas, I'm gonna bring more Drag Queen Story Hour into my theater.
Well, there you go.
That's something that I would do. I say that now. I would have to get board of directors approval.
I would like to say that your last story hour that you had, I shared the info with my neighborhood, and a lot of my neighbors brought their kids, and they had a great time.
Wonderful.
It was our first time going to one.
That's awesome sauce. That's great. A couple of really quick things. First of all, speaking of Andrew Lloyd Webber, he's writing a song for the coronation.
I was just about to say, he is writing the song for the coronation. That makes sense. I don't have a problem with that. Listen, he gave me Jesus Christ Superstar. I want to get mad at him all the time, but I love me some Superstar, and I do love some Starlight
Which is going
Express.
On tour in the UK.
I do love some Starlight Express.
We know. This is well known by all stage
It's a musical
and
with roller skates.
That was
I
one
mean...
of the first shows my husband saw on Broadway.
Oh, that's
was
funny.
It?
My parents took him. Yeah.
Never seen Fantastic. It, but I remember the commercials.
Oh, I saw that in London in the original cast. That was some good stuff.
The second to last thing I want to talk about is, you know, we have some equity members here in this room. They're talking about changing the name.
Yeah, they're just changing.
To be more
shaking
inclusive
it all
about... And, as a stage manager, so that's how I did my equity membership, not as an actor. So Actors Equity Association, I believe they're changing the name. I thought they were going to change because of the word equity, which, you know, one could argue how equitable they are. But no, it's about the people. So they're going to somehow add stage, because it's just stage managers and actors. I don't know that there's another group. Well, dancers now.
I was like,
remember?
I was about to say, wait a minute. We added in.
We added in dancers.
Yeah, because there's been so many. They added the dancers. Then they dropped the. We dropped the way the eligibility is, and now it's open. And now we're dropping the whole.
Yeah, it's open based on those same categories.
Right, and then now, but it's not the same way of earning the points and things. Like,
true.
And then now we're changing the whole name. So there's a lot of changes.
Well, it's interesting what they're doing. I think in terms of the organizations I've run, when I've wanted to change the name, I just change the name, talk to the board. But they're hiring a consultant to come in and do focus groups and questions and probably spending hundreds of thousands
of
dollars.
I was like, and they're spending tons of money that could be spent on art and artists instead. Sounds really
And equitable. You know what it's going to end up being? Actors and Stage Managers Equity Association.
Yes. I mean, did the stage managers ask for this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I know what people have been asking for is better audition conditions and things like that.
Right.
How about that?
Well, better conditions all around. Equity's never been really great about actually supporting their membership.
That's why it's so ironic, isn't it?
It is ironic. Well, I might talk about this later. Jason Alexander is getting his Broadway directing debut.
I love it.
With a show called The Cottage.
Are you going to call him and get us an interview?
I'm going to try to call him and get an interview.
She does. She knows
him.
I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing.
So that is starring Eric McCormick, Laura Bell Bundy, and Lily Cooper. Hmm. And it's
an interesting combination of people.
It's a farce inspired by and also sending up the work of Noel Coward, who I know you love.
I do.
Nicole.
I do. I like his wit.
Yeah, so that should be good. And there was one final thing that I think I wanted to talk about. Well, I know I did, but it's not in my. I think, but it's the Gatsby musical.
Yeah.
Directed by Rachel Chafkin.
Rachel Chafkin's directing it. Florence and the Machine.
Yeah, which I didn't realize
is doing the music. I'm fascinated by this. I can't decide yet if I'm on board or not on board kind of thing.
Is this an off-Broadway thing?
It is, I will tell you, because I have it here right now. No, it's not. It's headed to Broadway. It's an American Repertory Theater. Mm-hmm. It's written by Martina Mayoke, who wrote Sanctuary City, amongst
Sanctuary
other things.
City.
Yeah, we're doing it at Ground Floor Theater in the
show.
Spring. She is adapting the book. It's going to be at ART in dun da da dun.
It's like this spring, I thought, or it's coming up.
I didn't highlight it, so I can't find it fast enough. But it is being done at ART.
2024. Yep. 2024. Yeah, highly anticipated world premiere. In 2024. That's all we got.
So let's take a little break. Let's listen to, in honor of Raquel Welch, we won't hear her, but we will listen to a little bit of Woman of the Year and Lauren Bacall.
I was like, Lauren.
Here she is.
To name me Woman of the Year wasn't what you'd call a fluke. I understand.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole and a three of other people who were going to just
really cool folks are in the room with us.
That's my favorite song. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go ahead and reintroduce. We have the artistic director. I never get your title right, and I always go through this. of Austin Playhouse. It's, what is Lisa going to call me this week? Laura Haddock. Hi. You know what? I'm going to turn your microphone on so people can actually hear you. And then two of the performers in this show, Night Bird by R. Eric Thompson, who I saw on...
Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. That's what I've written. That's not what I said, though. he's. I spoke to him. He's thinking about changing it to Thompson. For me.
I'm glad you have that inside track.
Two of the actors from the show, Taji Sr. Hi, Taji.
Hi.
And India Wilmot.
Hello.
Okay. We were actually hoping to get Mr. Thompson, Mr. Thomas on the show a few weeks ago when he's in town, but we did not have room. Laura, tell us a little bit about this show. What is it?
Nightbird is this world premiere play about an artist, and Taji has a great synopsis of it as well. But this artist, Shell, is really struggling with a recent commission, which is what is going to go in place of a recently removed Confederate statue. So we have that topicality, but the story also gets really personal with her brother, who's planning a Juneteenth celebration, with this newcomer to their lives, played by India, who's an interior decorator, because Shell has also just purchased her family's childhood home in Baltimore and is renovating it. So it's a lot of kind of stripping ourselves down and what are we going to build up and what do we take from the past? What are we bringing to the present? And what possibilities does the future hold?
Amazing. Taji, how was that synopsis? Was it as good as yours?
I think it was better, quite honestly. I feel like every time I talk about it, I forget something. So I'm like, oh, that's right. There is that. Oh, yeah. That does happen. So, yeah. I thought it was great.
There's also a lot of Star Trek references.
A lot
here.
Of Star
really?
Trek.
Yes. Very surprising to some folks. But, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. I
love the Star Trek, though.
I'm a fan. So I'm watching Picard right now. So there. It is very topical, especially around replacing the Confederate monuments. Mm-hmm. And I was just heard a thing about, there's talk about trying to change some of the founding fathers' monuments because they were slaveholders at the time. But this is all very topical. Do we find out what they're going to do with it?
You got to see the show.
I'm just wondering if we find out.
That is the only appropriate answer.
I have a few ideas. So, India, tell me about the role that you play as the interior designer. And I should tell folks that India is wearing a very colorful T-shirt that says Dress in Happiness, which is a very interior designer kind of thing.
yes. The character I play, her name is Thalia Richmond. And she is an interior decorator, maybe a life coach. I'm adding, she has many, many hats that she wears. She also can cure your eczema.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Always important, yes. If you ask me. And Taji, who are you playing?
I play Sho. I play this lost artist who is grappling with how do you replace this monument? What do you replace this monument with? Which is a question of like what goes in the place of white supremacy. And I think what we were talking about earlier with what's happening with Parade and this resurgence in anti-Semitism. I think the thing that Sho finds herself facing is that the thing always finds a way to reorganize itself. Mm. It always finds a way to restructure, no matter how you counter it. So I think that's the thing that the reckoning that she's having, the revelation that she's having, and the fallout from that. Yeah.
I have to say, you just made me really sad.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to think that's not going to be the case in perpetuity.
It's funny. I stuck on the same note, too, that I was like, whoa, I never
it's
thought
like,
of it that
yeah,
way.
It's, yeah. I'm hoping you're wrong.
Well, I mean, I think... I don't think I am, but but I'll say is that the thing is like we always reorganize too. I mean, I think it's sad that the fight is persistent, but I also think that like we learn to be just as, if not more so, resilient and interesting and
resourceful in the ways that we confront these things. We wouldn't be black people. None of us would be here if that weren't true.
Well, that's absolutely true. And so we just keep up the fight, keep up the struggle. Mm-hmm. This show is a world premiere.
It is.
It is a world premiere, and which is wonderful. And why now? Why here? Why Austin? Why not Baltimore?
Well, Eric, this actually developed this show with it was an Interact Theater Company for about 5 years. It was in development, and ultimately, it just didn't come to pass. And I found it through the most ridiculous means possible by I don't know, procrastinating on some work I was supposed to doing and following some internet rabbit hole, and got to Eric's plays and read it and loved it. It also has the brother Willard is working on, played by Hollis L. Edwards, is working on this Juneteenth celebration, which is a very Texas thing.
Absolutely. I mean,
now,
Texas.
Now it's become a lot more prominent nationally, but that felt very Texas, and Eric has said the same thing. I read it. I just loved it instantly. These characters were characters I hadn't seen in exactly this iteration on stage before. And I wanted to spend maybe not a ton more time with them, but some more time with them. and it was fascinating. It was so funny and lively, and took this topical subject and asked all the questions I wanted it to ask and humanized it, and then didn't, spoiler, give you all of the answers for how it resolved. And I really appreciated that.
So. Well, awesome. Y'all are going to do, you're prepared to do a little scene, yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does this scene need to be set up at all?
Not really.
Not really. Okay. Well, why don't we just jump right into it?
Just jump in.
This is Taji Sr. and India Wilmot doing a scene from Nightbird with Austin Playhouse production of Nightbird.
Yeah. Okay. So, as a friend, would you please tell me what your fixation is with Star Trek?
I just like it. I like most of them, but The Next Generation is the best because of Guinan. Whoopi Goldberg? I always liked space, but when I saw her, my brain said, oh, there's a black woman in space. She's not black on the show, of course. She's a Lorian.
Of course.
But it just meant something. The future is anything, right? Space, time travel, other planets. It's all possibility. And I loved that. I love being able to dream about all that could be. And when I saw her, I knew I could dream myself into it, too. Man, I was off. I started collecting stuff. I would dress up like her. I even went to the con sometimes. Still do. Although these days I dress as Okoye from Black Panther. Oh, and this is my favorite little fact I learned when I first got into all the Star Trek stuff. Do you know about the transporter? Like, beam me up, Scotty?
I guess.
You can picture it.
Yeah.
Did you know on the original series they made that by filming glitter in a glass of water?
Really?
Yeah. I remember thinking all it takes is glitter and a glass of water to make me believe I could be anywhere in the universe. It's not so simple, but, you know, glitter, a glass of water, and Whoopi Goldberg. I listened to this podcast this one time about Afrofuturism, and they described it as the radical idea that black people will exist in the future. Whew, I had to pull my van over. I'm out here hustling, trying to make it all work, trying to be like your mom, like the example set by your mom. And you know, it ain't easy. But I am in the future. I tell myself I am in the future.
You're going to make me want to watch this show.
That's amazing.
What a great little scene. I like that.
I love Whoopi Goldberg in The Next Generation.
Yeah. When you were like, you know what Star Trek I like, I'm like, please say The Next Generation. And you did. I was like, yeah.
And her offspring shows up in Picard. This is amazing. Now, I know that Marcus McWhorter is directing this.
Yes.
And we love Marcus. When do you open?
Next Friday.
March
3rd.
And then how long do you play?
Until March 26th.
Yes. Great. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
AustinPlayhouse.com.
AustinPlayhouse.com. Well, I cannot wait to see it. And Taji, I have to ask you, are you back in Austin?
I am not.
You are not.
I am not. I'm here for this. I'm remarkably grateful and excited to be back and to not be in 12 degree weather. But no, I'm not.
Okay,
back.
Well, all right. I'm sad now.
I was like, we're happy she's here.
I was like, but she's here for over a month. Yes,
we get to hold her close for a little while longer.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck with the opening. I cannot wait to see it myself.
Thank you.
That was Taji Senior, India Wilmot, and Laura Haddock of Austin Playhouse, production of Nightbird by R. Eric Thomas. Opening March 3rd through 26th. For more information, you may visit austinplayhouse.com. And this is from Light in the Piazza, Statues and Stories. Ta-da! We are back.
We are back.
You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Just the two of us.
Well, actually, not really just the two
know.
Of us.
I know. We have someone creeping on the phone line.
Because creeping on the phone line is our very favorite person, Jason Williams. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, good. It's always very nice to hear when somebody's actually on the line.
You know, that works. Sometimes it's not, but it generally works. Yeah.
Well, I need to turn my volume up because I'm like, where is everybody? I don't hear anyone. It helps if you turn the volume up, too.
Yep.
There you go.
In your headphones, she's saying.
Never hurts to follow instructions.
So, Jason, it's been a while since we've talked to you, and always love having you on the show. I miss seeing your little, as we call it, Shayna Putum. you're doing a show aptly called An Evening with Jason Williams.
That's right.
And which is what I called Thursday Night Dinner.
Well, there you go. Well, it would work. It's ironic because it's an evening with Jason Williams, but most of the shows are in the afternoon. So there you go. Two matinees, one evening. But yeah, it's good to be back. You know, I've been dragging my act up and down this street for 40 years. It's 40 years since I first performed at the Paramount.
That's amazing.
And it is amazing that I lived to tell this story, to have this interview. Are you kidding? My God, it's amazing. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, well, but here you are and you did it. So tell us, this is just an evening of you telling stories, which is something you do best.
Yeah, it's just an evening of storytelling. I'm digging out some stuff that have been audience favorites and then, you know, throwing in other stuff. Like, you know, I had a good friend that was a Radio City Rockette in the 1920s, and her dying words were the best exit line I've ever heard. And you'll have to come to the show to hear them.
That's not fair.
Well, no. Show business isn't fair, Lisa.
Touché,
it's about time I started learning these life lessons.
Yeah, there's nothing fair about it. Nothing fair about it. But yeah, I'm going to have a real good time. I'm looking forward to it. And
so have you done?
I hope y'all will make it.
Yeah. So I'm wondering. You know, we're used to Jason basically doing theater. Your storytelling is more like theater. You're doing characters and things like this. Is this going to be more raw, more Jason on stage? As Jason?
Yep, it will. There are several pieces that are very scripted. And because they, you know, some of these pieces had some good lyric quality, and I don't want to lose that. But then there are other stories that just, you know, it's been a crazy ride for me. And, you know, there's no reason not to share that at this point.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, I've got crazy boyfriend who was named after a cartoon character from a Disney film. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho. Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah. Just
so,
thinking about it. I'm speechless.
When I read some of the description of the show, I recognized some of the things that from some other stories that you've told, how much like super duper scooper new material are you putting out there this time?
I'd say at least half of it is new material.
Wow.
At least half of it is new material. Yeah.
I love it.
And it, Yeah, and it goes all over the place. It's just, you know, again, I've had an amazing and fortunate life. And I, you know, Joe Sears told me this years ago, I'm a crazy magnet. I draw crazy people. And we tend to get along well. And so there's, you know, there's no use not sharing this. And again, it just feels so good to be here after 40 years. My God.
Amazing. I'm not even 40 years old.
Oh, my God. Bless you. Well, stop while you can. Stop.
So I know, knowing you, that when I go sit in that audience, I'm going to be doing a lot of laughing. But my guess is, also knowing you, I'm going to be feeling a lot of feelings at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yes, it is, and I hope so, because it's, again, you know, we are living in a time, it's something I say in the show, I really believe that our last best hope in bringing people in this country together is through laughter, at least in terms of what I can contribute, but also honesty, also reaching out and, you know, and holding people close, and loving that memory and sharing it and getting people to forget about their problems for a little while and turn off the news, you know, because it's so depressing.
It is.
And there's no reason. Yeah, and we're better than that. We're better than that as people. We're better than that as theater people. We're better than that as a country. And so I'm going to try to go out there and be better than that and also make you laugh.
Yeah. I love it.
So, you know, we've known you for a lot of years here at Offstage and On the Air. And I think I just want to remind our listeners, in case they didn't know or they're new to the show or new to the world, that you are the author of the Greater Tuna franchise, along with your co-actor, Joe. And I always do. I knew a Roy Sears growing up, and so I always want to say Roy. Oh,
you said Joe.
It's not Joe Sears. Are you going to spend a lot of time talking about the creation of, or the living of, or the history of, or the legacy of the tuna franchise?
Yes, I have a section where I talk about Joe, the craziest things that happened to us over the years. And some of the most rewarding and funniest were when we were out in costume doing PR. And when we went out in character, we behaved as the characters would.
Yeah.
You know, which was terribly politically incorrect and hysterically funny. We created havoc in a Safeway in Washington, D.C. some years ago. Absolute raving havoc, because a local newscaster wanted to film us checking shopping for a Thanksgiving turkey, and Pearl and Vera went, and the way you checked a turkey for freshness is you just slapped the hell out of it, and if it slapped you back, it was too fresh. And so you got two white guys in dresses in a Safeway in a black neighborhood beating the hell out of turkeys. It created havoc.
As well it should.
That, it was a whole lot of fun.
That's my life in a Safeway.
There you go. So, you work with what props you have. Am I wrong?
You are right. So you are doing the show at the State Theater, or as it's called now, Stateside at Paramount.
Stateside, yeah.
I'm assuming that's correct. I thought it was down for renovations, but I guess I'm wrong.
Oh, no, it's back open.
It's back open.
It's back open.
Well, that's amazing. When are you doing it?
I will be there. I have a matinee on Saturday at 2, 7:30 Saturday night, and a Sunday matinee at 2. So I'm doing 3 shows.
Excellent. And that's the 25th and the 26th of this month.
That's right. That's right. It's coming right up. We're setting lights and we're hanging lights and working on stuff today. And I'm loving this one because we're trying to do something a little different with it. And, you know, we've made it through COVID.
We did it that.
Touche.
We made it through that. And you know what? No, everybody suffered during COVID, but show business and theater people, my God, we went through it.
Yeah, we certainly did. Back. We're back.
We did, and we're back.
Well,
we're back.
Jason, we're out of time, but where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Where can they get more information about the show, Kevin Bailey?
I can tell you if you don't know. It's austintheater.org.
Austintheater.org.
Austintheater.org. Now, see, I never know because I don't buy tickets to my own show.
There you go. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. I look forward to seeing you in person and give you a big old hug.
Thank you, Jason.
I love you both, and what you are doing for the arts in Austin is noble and wonderful, and I love you both.
Likewise. We'll see you at your show.
I'll see you then.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Jason Williams with An Evening with Jason Williams. It's on the 25th and 26th at the Stateside at Paramount. For more information, austintheater.org. And actually, I should have kept him on the line at this point because I didn't really do a song about his show, but more about us. Here it is.
Hey, old friend, are you okay?
That's a great choice of song.
Yeah,
I like
thought
that song.
He has been with this show from the
he's
the
one we could definitely
days.
Put the iconic in front of.
And in terms of, yes, definitely iconic. And I meant to ask him, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask him, and you might know the answer. Has he always lived in Texas? No,
he's from Texas. He's from Lubbock originally.
But does he always lived here? Did he ever live elsewhere? Did he live in New York?
Well, they did the show on Broadway for a while.
Yeah.
So he was there for a bit. But I mean, he's a Texan.
There you go.
But I believe he has his necks in wings.
I know he's Texas. He lives in Lockhart right now.
Yes.
We went a little bit of out of order, and so I'm going back. We're going to do the local stuff. I want to remind folks that this weekend, not only can you see Jason, but you can also come out and see 1448. That's 14 plays in 48 hours at Ground Floor Theater.
A lot of plays in a little time.
It's really fun. It's a theater festival where we had them on the show here 3 weeks ago. So you can get information at groundfloortheater.org/1448.
There you go.
Other things that are happening around town.
What else is happening?
The last 5 years over at TexArts.
Ooh.
Playing its last weekend. Closes on the 26th. Southwest Theater Productions, The Poetry Shift over at Trinity is playing through the 4th of March. Cinderella is going through the 5th of March. And if you've already seen it, you may want to go again because Sandra May Frank, who plays Cinderella, is leaving the role and is now going to be played by...
Emily. Yes. And I cannot pronounce her last name.
Anyway.
Cantilio with a C.
But that would be a reason to go back to Zach and catch Cinderella for a second time. Over at ACC is The Snow. It's playing it's playing now through the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Shakespeare's The Real Thing is by Tom Stoppard is playing through the 5th of March. Godspell, last weekend to catch Godspell over at St. Ed's. They were on our show last week. And just because it's here twice, I'm going to say it a second time. The Real Thing for Austin Shakespeare. It's twice on my sheet.
You do have it twice. You know why? Because you just can't stop with Stoppard.
You can't stop because you know why? He's the real thing.
He's the real thing. There's so many things we can do with that.
It's true. I See You, Your Scene, Octavia LaToy's show over at the Vortex is playing through the 11th. And then Pippi Longstocking.
I love Pippi. I had a whole talk about Pippi with Amy earlier this week. Just that little, she's a little terror.
She's a little Dickens.
She's a little Dickens. That's a very great way to say it.
And it's over at the Scottish Rite through the 12th. And something we didn't talk about, Spitfire Grill, the musical over at Concordia is playing through this weekend.
I did not know about that.
I did not either.
I put you out of that to the mix.
I did.
You know what else opens
mix.
This week? Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat.
Oh, who's doing that?
Over
at the Zach. So, ZachTheater.org.
Yep.
And that's, which theater is that
the
being
and
done
And Octavia's in that also.
What's Octavia not She's, in?
I know, right?
Well, I'm guessing those are matinees.
That is in the Clayburgh. There's a Friday night. This Friday opening is a 7 p.m. show, and then it's Saturday and Sunday is at 2.
Why can't she be in two places at once?
Because she does the school shows in the morning and during the week, and then
she's got the Friday night show. I want to know who does she think she is, Cynthia Nixon?
So this Friday night, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they have her standby, maybe for the fish. She's fish.
Who knows? I don't even know. I don't.
I love me some Dr. Seuss.
Who doesn't like Dr. Seuss? Speaking of Dr. Seuss, I rewatched Matilda.
Those little revolt. Girl in the Red Beret. And Girl I know her Beret, name is really like Maggie good. Something, but Girl in the Red Beret just serves okay. it.
And
up.
I did mention it on this show. I like, rarely will you hear me say this, but I like, in this case, I like the movie better than the live musical.
They, you know, I don't normally like taking musicals from the stage to musical. I think they did a spectacular job with this.
They did indeed.
Sadly, but you know what, though? You, When I Grow Up does not resonate the same way because they had to get creative with creating content for it. It just doesn't work the same way it did on stage. It's still special, not as melting special.
Well, and you know, it depends. I saw a high school production of Matilda, and for that number, so to remind folks that When I Grew Up on Broadway, they did it on swings.
Yeah, it's like the opening of the second act.
And so not every high school production can afford to rig swings. So they did the cute thing. They had the girl playing Matilda and Miss Honey sit on downstage center on the edge of the stage, and they sang When I Grow Up, and there was a slideshow of these kids when they were little kids behind them. I just thought that was very clever. It's a great way to do it.
And they also come out in the... I did like that they used that song again for the credits as they do for the bows, because they come out on the little scooters doing that in their bows, and they used it during the credits and stuff. Yep. There was some great... really great stuff in there.
One thing that...
Those revolting children.
Although I did say that I like the movie better than the stage play, I'm a little sad that they did not... keep the song "Everything I Learned from Telly."
They cut the brother.
They cut the brother. He's completely gone. But I like the way
but
they
everything
treated,
I love.
I like the
telly.
Way they treated the family dynamic better than
I do. But yes, the Telly song was
telly
really.
Song
I was
fun.
Like, "There's no Telly song.
There's no Telly song." So I forgot why
but
I brought
the
that
opening
up.
Was brilliant because you just rewatched the Matilda.
No, but
again.
There's a reason why I brought that.
Oh, because Roald Dahl's been in the news.
That's not why, but he has been in the news. They are. Re-releasing many of his things that are more sensitive to the world as it stands now. And I did not realize that Roald Dahl was not the most nice person.
No, not at all.
I did not know that.
Or have you read his stuff? It's pretty dark.
It is. It is very, very dark.
I mean, even James and the Giant Peach is pretty dark.
Let's jump into Today in Theater History, shall we?
Oh, stuff happened today and Lisa's going to tell
history.
Us about it.
We'll start with, my favorite thing, and we've talked about this on the show so many times. This is the anniversary of the opening and closing of Moose Murders in 1983.
Oh, we did talk about it.
And I want to remind you that Holland Taylor.
I was like, Holland was in it.
And when we the very first time we interviewed her, that was the time when all the stuff was going on with Charlie Sheen. And she was in that show. And that was off limits for us to talk about. And she thought I was going there, but I went instead. I started to ask her a question. And I could see in her eyes that don't go where you think you're going. But I went to Moose Murders.
She talks about Moose Murders.
Moose Murders is known by one of the biggest flops. And I looked up Moose Murders on Wikipedia today, and there's a link, clickable link for the shortest running Broadway shows. And it indeed was among the top. It opened and closed on the same day. But my show, which I know I talk about ad nauseum here, ran for three performances, wasn't even on the list.
That doesn't make sense.
I know, I'm going to call him.
Who do we call to get that list?
Other things, we're now running out of time. Come Blow Your Horn opened in 1961. Journey's End in 2007. And A Gift of Time in 1962. And I was hoping there was a cast album of that, but there wasn't. That's birthdays, funny. Leah Salonga.
Oh, and she was in the news for something today. She just got announced doing something too.
And Ellen Green, speaking of, I saw several high school productions of Little Shop of Horrors. Celia Rose Gooding, I don't know her. Jeremy Shamos, Richard Greenberg, and Marnie Nixon.
That's a really good birthday group.
And so we're gonna go out with a little Marnie Nixon.
Oh, good choice.
You
what, Marnie?
You might think that we're playing Audrey Hepburn, but we're not. We're playing Marnie Nixon. Here she is.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins. Just you wait.
Oh, right. Just you wait, Henry Higgins. Because Marnie Nixon ghost sung for a lot of people, among them Audrey Hepburn in, what's the name of that show?
Oh,
My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady.
She also sang for...
I wanted to start singing
Shall
Moon
We
River.
Dance? Dun, 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 the King and I.
The King and I.
For who played it in the movie?
Deborah...
I forgot, but she sang it. But what I find interesting now, if you look it up on iTunes, she's now getting credit for it on the cast album, and she didn't used to. Like, my record album of My Fair Lady has Audrey Hepburn's name.
Mm-hmm.
Not Marnie Nixon. So I'm glad that she's widely known.
The man behind the curtain has been unleashed.
Right. And
I'm here for it.
Yep, me too. So I left my script over here to tell you that the song that we're going to play as we leave, because we are Austin Common Radio Hours next. I want to remind folks, next week is our membership drive.
Very exciting.
Bring your wallets when you come. Nicole and I will do our best to talk you into giving to the radio station during that time.
We sure will.
The Austin Common Radio Hour is next, and John Hoffner is just...
Let's see if I can find some goodies for us for donors next week.
We want some goodies. So, you know, I always like to play something new that I haven't played as we leave, and this is called The Bake Off Tent. This is from the Great British Bake Off musical.
I didn't know there was a musical on the Great British Bake Off.
Me neither. Are you a Great British Bake Off fan?
Yes, I like it. Who doesn't like it?
Me. Well, it's not that I don't like it. I just never watched it. But let's listen to the Bake Off Tent, and we'll see you next week during our membership drive to find out what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.
So one day I said to our auntie, why don't I give you a break? So I made my own pie, only mine wasn't dry, and that's why I started to bake.
There was this girl I met in Shoreditch at an underground nudist rave. She lived in Camden Lock and wore a smock and had a